Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text for this day is Isaiah chapter 9, 1-4. Here again the portion that reads, "There will be no more gloom for those who are in for her who is in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the latter time he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations." You may be seated. Reverend John Seleska received the following from one who had been hospitalized for being depressed. "Oh God, my heart is breaking. I want so much to be well. It's been so long, Lord. Deliver me soon, O God. My mind is a prison. Those that I love so dearly seem so far away. The things I love to do are beyond me. Save me, O my God. My Jesus, touch me. I look at myself and I see a horrible, strange face. I wonder, God, how can you love such a pitiful sight? Lord, help me. Help me to trust you no matter what. Lord, if my trust doesn't quite make it, hold on to me anyway until this is past." Depression. It is such darkness. It's the land of deep darkness. And it does horrible things to the mind and can even lead a person to destroy themselves. It breaks families. I'm not a doctor, a psychiatrist, a psychologist, or even a counselor. But like Pastor Seleska, I'm a pastor whose job, whose art, whose vocation is to point you to the living and eternal light in the darkness. Some may say and ask, why? If I only knew why, and I ask you, if you knew why depression or the darkness is there, what would you do? Yeah, we think if we only knew why, we could just go ahead and somehow solve it, right? But if we knew why and we couldn't solve it, what would we do? Maybe look for someone else to fix it? Someone else to solve the darkness? But what if you can't find someone else? We finally run to God and ask him why. And what if he said, wait, and you know why? Would we be patient? Would we also sit in joy because of the answer that we had received? Or would we be angry? You'll have to answer that question, those questions yourself. But I am here. We are here, pastor and people together, in Christ. Today we see through the eyes of Isaiah the prophet, the tribes of Judah, looking north to the land of Zebulun and Naphtali. They once belonged to the northern part of Israel. The Assyrians had come and disseminated the people and redivided the land. Parts to what Isaiah knows now as the way by the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, the Galilee of the Gentiles. And there is so much to be depressed about. And just like depression, there's a variety of opinions among the people of Judah. Opinions about what happened to Zebulun and Naphtali. Yes, some thought, you know what? Those schmucks are finally getting their due. These attitudes had even existed up to the time of Jesus. Even though now, at the time of Jesus, Galilee had been reclaimed by the Jews, those Galilean Gentiles, They were just a little bit lower on the totem pole. Yeah? Why do people suffer depression? Something, they must have done something to deserve this. Others conclude, you know, what do you expect from a family like theirs? It's in their genetics. It doesn't really matter, does it, where it comes from? They're still suffering in the darkness. Still others in Judah's looked at the destruction of Zebulun and Naphtali in fear, and they thought, you know what? That could happen to me. The Assyrians were still at their back door. Just as some have looked at their genealogies and realized the depression that existed in their family tree, or even their parents had suffered from, or maybe one of their siblings. That could be me. It's a terrible way to live in fear. Yet others considered God's plan. And as they realized what God had planned for them, and the joy, as you heard in the text, they're puzzled. This isn't the way God's kingdom is supposed to work. We're God's people. We're supposed to be set apart, someone special. Things like this just can't happen if we're really God's people. Both the one who suffers depression and the family of the depressed can struggle like this too. It's not supposed to happen to me. Am I believing the wrong thing? Am I somehow not a part of God's people? And yet, you are here, and I'm here. We all know that criticism is not the answer. Living in fear is not the answer. Doubt is not the answer. We look for some answer that's beyond our powerlessness, beyond our hopelessness, beyond the darkness. We are here for a word. Not from a doctor, not from a psychiatrist, not from a psychologist or a counselor, but from God. That He would once again proclaim that things are set right again. Isaiah lived and proclaimed God's word when everything was going wrong, even spiritually among God's people. There were enemies on the outside, there were enemies in the inside. There's a lot to be depressed about, and a lot to be angry about. I've heard it said that really depression is anger turned inside, turned inward. And when it turns inward, it's dark. Deep darkness. Denial won't solve it. Putting on a happy face won't take it away. But Isaiah speaks to the present reality with a sure and certain word of God. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased the joy. They rejoice before you as with joy in the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. That's the joy that I want. That's the joy that I want other people to have. That's the joy that I want you to have. That's the joy that God wants every person to have, including those who suffer from depression. Today, you have the promises of God more real. They are for you now. Today you have heard how Matthew has grabbed on to Isaiah chapter 9 and saw these words fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Matthew writes, when Jesus had heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived at Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. And as I considered this, I thought, wow. John is put in prison. That's not good news. He goes to Galilee, Zebulun and Naphtali, a place that's even darker. And what does Jesus say? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What? Repent? What did I do to deserve this? What sin did I commit to be in Galilee, being depressed? But if that is our reaction, then we misunderstand both repentance and sin. Because sin is just not something that we do. It is the condition that we live in. It is being broken. It didn't have to be because we did something. It could be. Could have been that someone else did it to us. Or it's just because life happens. It's our condition. What is repentance? It is to turn, to change your mind, to turn from what you're experiencing, from the darkness, to turn to the light. The light of God's Word. The light in the darkness. To Jesus' direction. It seems so easy, doesn't it? You know, Jesus comes into Galilee. He finds the disciples of Simon Peter and James and John. Andrew, and what do? When he calls them, saying, come follow me, they get up, leave everything, and go. Yeah, these fishermen repent and follow. And then Jesus goes ahead and heals every disease and every affliction among the people. And we read this text and ask, but where is Jesus for me now? It's not that easy. That question, where is Jesus for me now, is the beginning of repentance. It is God turning our minds from the temporary fixes of life, and he turns us to Jesus. For in Jesus, we find that he is the one that can truly fix us for eternity. Where is Jesus today? It is he who binds himself to his word, who binds himself to his word delivered through human lips that were once broken by sin, to a people who are broken by sin. People live in darkness. In fact, worse than darkness, the darkness that was before God ordered creation, the deep darkness in the shadow of death. Yes, look at Jesus. Look at him, who also is broken by sin, even the sin of his own people. Though he did not sin, they cursed him and judged him to be sin. And the shadow of death overcame him, but he overcame death itself by his resurrection and ascended. In doing so, he fills all things. So that whenever Holy Communion is offered, there is Jesus for you, and you, and you. There is his body. There is his blood shed for you. Your brokenness in Jesus. And Jesus looks at you whole. Do you feel separated from God's people or this congregation or maybe even for your family? God calls you from the trusting of your feelings to trust in his word. Remember your baptism. For there he joins his word with water, which is, as we read in Scripture, life-giving water, rich in grace, and a washing of new birth in the Holy Spirit. Oh, your feelings are real. But they're only the lights on your dashboard, telling you that there's something wrong. But just like the lights on your dashboard, they can't fix you. They can't fix the car. They tell you something is wrong, but God tells you what's really wrong and then gives you the solution. He gives you Jesus. Just wait. Just wait. That's what I have. That's what I have is trouble waiting, don't you? We all have to live in this now and not yet. We've all had the spiritual surgery. We've gone ahead and confessed our sins and we received the absolution, but we're still in pain. We still suffer. Everything isn't all right yet here. And yet, in Jesus, it is. He said so. With Jesus, trust his word so that what he says will be now, but not yet. The person who is hospitalized continued to write to Pastor Seleska, first quoting Jesus' words from Luke chapter 22. But I prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and when you turn again, strengthen your brothers. And she writes, it's been a year now since I have been discharged from the hospital. My battle with depression still is not over. God has graciously answered many of my prayers, and I am so thankful for the care or being able to care for my family again. It's so good to laugh again. There was a Christian man who was hospitalized along with me. He suffered depression for a number of years. My heart really went out to him. He was told by some of the members of his church that depression is a sin. How wrong it is to give a repentant, depressed person the law when what they really need over and over again is that sweet gospel message of Christ's great love for them. I had a well-meaning Christian call me when I was in the hospital to tell me that I must have done something wrong to be so depressed. A word of advice, she writes, to any of you who are helping a brother or sister in Christ pass through their period of trial, remind them constantly of God's love for them. They need to hear it over and over again. For God used my brothers and sisters in Christ to help me carry me through those dark days. They continually encourage me in the gospel. They are a cherished treasure to me. And so I say to you today, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them the light has shined. Jesus is your light, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
For information about our congregation, for service times and schedule, please visit our website at www.standrewlcms.org. Thank you for listening to Sermons Preached at St. Andrew Lutheran Church in West Fargo, North Dakota, a member of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.